Well, hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott. And guys, I was just making the round of the news. I even sometimes go to that independent place. They let anybody write there. But I saw an article on some of the big advances that are happening in colleges. First of all, I don't know how you guys were as scholars. As for me, I got straight G's when I was in college. Steve, they're saying now that a new G grading policy will allow Pitt professors to pass students who don't complete coursework by the end of the semester, presumably on account of COVID-19. And I thought to myself, of course, when I say I thought to myself, that's with my, you know, G level grade point average, that that if there was ever a time when there was not an excuse for students not to have work ready, this was it. This has probably been the most free time that teenagers have had since the founding of the Republic. But we don't want to, you know, pressure them or anything. Did you, what was it? Were you a G student
I was mostly a G student, except when I had a class that I really liked, and then I'd usually ace the thing. Cause you know, it was fun. It wasn't work. It was fun. Statistics? No. But there was an essay writing class, freshman year. There was a literature class, sophomore year. I love those. Ace those. In fact, you didn't talk about this free time. I can't remember my lit professor's name, but it was a small class, so we didn't have a TA. We actually had the professor, which was nice. He asked me why I hadn't been in class the day before when we were discussing, I think it was Pride and Prejudice or whatever the hell it was we were reading at the time. And I told him quite bluntly that I was still drunk from the night before and thought it best that I...
You're my hero. I swear. I'm just going to build a statue to you, man. Did you really say that to a teacher?
I really said that. And that
wins the internet for the day.
Thank you.
That and the other thing you said earlier during our backstage show.
Which one?
Which was what was it, Scotty? He said he grills
in questionable weather. Yeah, I usually don't like photos of
Steve,
me.
Steve will grill in questionable weather. Sorry
There's one photo that my wife got of me. I'm standing over the grill in the rain. The whole back of my body, from shoulder blades to heels, soaking wet. But I've got the umbrella over the lamb chops. The lamb was fine. In any case, yeah, I was mostly a G student. But the point of this, bringing up this lit class, was that I still got the paper turned in and I got an A. And that's the whole thing. That's what college is supposed to teach you, that you have, as an adult out in the world, the freedom to goof off to your heart's content. There's a great song by a band called The Pursuit of Happiness. I think they're out of Toronto, called I'm an Adult Now. And I love this song. And there's a line in the song that says, I can sleep until noon almost any day I want, but almost no days that I do. And that's it. This is what college is supposed to teach you. Goof off if you think you can afford to get away with it, but you still got to do the makeup work. You still got to do the work. You got to get it done. You might have to do it under crunch time. And that's okay as long as you learn how to do this. Well, if we're giving out G's when students have all this endless free time, we're not teaching them that. We are teaching them that in the real world, in the grown-up world that they're about to enter, that they can goof off all they want and still get a passing grade. Well, it just isn't so. College is that nice mix, or at least it's supposed to be, of moving into adulthood in a relatively safe environment. Well, we've stopped the moving into adulthood part with this G grade nonsense. And it's way too soft now. These kids are going to enter the real world, and the real world is going to smash them in the face with a cinder block.
No, it's not. They're going to gase it, Steve. They're going to gase all of their exams. I could just see. I just love to get a resume from somebody. It's like, so you're applying here for a position as a legal intern, and I see nothing but G's here. Did you pass these classes or did you fail them? Yes. Scott, this article led me to another one, which is also something I think is kind of interesting. Rutgers University says it's going to provide trigger warnings in classics and history courses. Now, this particular part of this is not about, geez, look how wacky colleges are. We've been doing those for 10 years. But the professor is basically saying something here that he says, the reason that he's going to provide these trigger warnings on this literature and studies of Greeks and Romans and so on is that he says that it's, quote, better to prepare the students than to surprise them. And On our backstage show, we talked about an example of a literary surprise, and I was wondering if you would mind bringing that up again. Is the job of teachers to make sure that when a student reads a book, they know what's going to happen before it happens so that they don't get upset?
That's like the worst possible thing I could ever imagine a teacher saying. If anything,
yes,
the entire teaching profession, like any kind of communication or persuasion profession, is built around the aha moment, the moment where everything turns, where you thought things were going in one direction and they suddenly go in another, whether for good or for ill. But it was the unexpected that provides the learning moment, because you've gotten immersed in the story and then suddenly something happens that you didn't see coming. And the people who do it best, like in movies, for example, do it in a way where you'll both be shocked, and then you'll turn to your friend and say, "I knew it." And so, but if you tell them at the beginning, this is what's going to happen, this is actually the disease of our time, because everybody is binge watching old things that previously ran or that are running right now, but you're not caught up with them. And so were you ever scrolling through like news or through a social media feed or something, and all of a sudden you see that there's a story about a show that you're watching, and you're like, no, scroll. I don't want to see what happens.
Spoilers.
I want that rush that comes with understanding, that comes with shock and alarm and confusion. That is why you invest yourself in even classic literature. And so it's really, I don't know what this guy got his degree in, but it clearly wasn't any kind of communications oriented or even classic literature oriented thing. The greatest thing you can do with somebody, even if you want to teach, and I'm assuming he does, what horrible people the people who wrote the classics were. Even if you want to teach that, let that surprise hit. Let it sink in. Let it have its full weight. In our backstage show, we were talking about when I read for the first time The Grapes of Wrath. And if somebody had assigned that book, and by the way, nobody did, I've never read any great literature that was assigned to me. I've read a lot of great literature on my own. But when I got to the final stanza of that incredible work, I was emotionally wrecked. I mean, at this moment, I get chills now thinking about the impact that had, the way it punched me in the gut, and a torrent of tears came out at this moment in this story, which I won't ruin for you. And in fact, I think I'm going to go back and read it again. But that was the work right there. That was the work that the author did. Everything built to that moment. And if you had told me up front that this horrible thing was going to happen in the final chapter, I would have gone, screw you. I'm not going to, I would have done what I would have done to this professor. I'm like, I'm not going to read that. Why would I want to put myself through that? But having been through it and having let that author do that to me, I have grown immeasurably as a result of it, and have a much deeper understanding of the human condition and of my own life.
That's well said. And this isn't about something as simple as, you know, cheating or finding out the answer or spoiler alerts. If you look at if you don't know what's coming and you read of Mice and Men, when you get to the final chapter of that, the final close of that book, and you realize what this guy has to do and why he's doing it, and the justice and the injustice of it all at the same time, it's a punch in the guts. And this is the point I'm trying to make. There's a book that we used to have to read, I think in fourth grade, called Flowers for Algernon, an amazing short story, really, about a laboratory rat named Algernon that they've given an experimental drug to, and increases its intelligence enormously. And then the guy who's like a low IQ janitor there is given the drug as well, and he becomes this super genius, and then it starts to wear off. And all of this art and all of this sophistication that he appreciated and all of this classical music that he could suddenly just enjoy with his 150 IQ, it's now it's going to get smaller and smaller every day. He's heading right back into the darkness, and it rips your guts out. I'm not even going to talk about Old Yeller, because if you haven't seen that movie, that'll rip you up. But look, there's a point for all of this, and this is the point. We intelligence is an extraordinarily complex thing. And storytelling, whether it's through movies or books or whatever the case may be, what storytelling is it is a simulation. It's a simulation of life. It is an example of here's something horrible, or here's something wonderful, or here's something dangerous, or here's something that's going to tear your guts out. It's not real. It wasn't really your brother or your friend that died in the book. It just felt like it. And all storytelling is simulation for life. And the great stories can often hit you harder than anything that actually hits you in real life. That's a case of the training being tougher than the war. But when you tell students that we're going to deprive them of the shock, of the punch in the stomach when we find out what happens to George at the end of Mice and Men, if we're going to take that away from them because we don't want to upset them, then we have missed the entire point, not just of education, not just of storytelling, but of the entire human experience. All of this stuff, including these videos, is an attempt for some people to share with other people things that have happened to them, simulate the experience for them so that they can experience it vicariously and makes them into stronger, better people. I don't have to have been through all of these things because I've read it. And in aviation, we say, you know, son, you better learn from the mistakes of others because you're not going to live long enough to make them all yourself. And that's really what it comes down to. So when you treat students like they're wrapped in cotton and never allow them the emotional punch in the guts that a good story will give them, then you are further ever continuing to make them weaker and weaker and weaker and more sad and more depressed and more angry and all the rest of it. It's child abuse and it has to stop. That's why they're classics. They're classics because they survived the test of time. For Steve Green and Scott Ott, I'm Bill Whittle. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you here next week on Right Angle.